And I want to tell you just a short story, and we're going to do an exercise together. Just to kind of bring this all together. And it's a story from my lineage, from my Hasidic lineage, kind of the mystical lineage of Kabbalah, which I bring to world spirituality. And it's a story about a master called the Daughter of the Eye. That was his name. And there were always these kind of interesting names. Like in the Indian world, you have Chief Walking Bear. So in Kabbalah, you have kind of similar names, but usually not totems or animals, more about a particular faculty of emotion or presence. So this master was called the Daughter, right, of the Eye. The Daughter of the Eye. And he went, you know, in the, you know, late 1700s, he moved his community from Europe to Israel. And it was a very dramatic and very, very difficult thing to do. And it wasn't, you know, a plane flight away. And it required enormous sacrifice, and not everyone survived the trip. And the reason he moved is because there was a kind of strange man who one day enters the study hall in Europe and goes over to the master, the Daughter of the Eye. Again, that was his name. You know, Chief Daughter of the Eye, you can call him. And whispers a few words in his ear. And the master's like blown open and says, you know, wow, we have to all immigrate to Israel. Right? That's the spiritual center. We need to be there. That's where we need to be. And so that the disciples, you know, go with their spiritual teacher. And they go to Israel, and they're there, and they build a community in Safed, a place that I used to live above the Sea of Galilee. A very beautiful place. And, you know, some 25 years go by, and they have a beautiful community, and they practice, and their specific practice was the practice of love. The practice of what is called love before creation, which I'm going to talk about later in this call, which is another word for outrageous love, right? The mystical practice of outrageous love. And 25 years have gone by, and then one day, this same strange man who came to the court, to the study hall, like 25 years ago in Europe, appears again, out of nowhere. Although he was older and everyone was older, the master and the older disciples immediately recognized him, walks over to the master, the Daughter of the Eye, whispers again a few words in his ear and walks out. And the master goes like absolutely white. His face goes completely, totally, absolutely white. Like, oh my God. And he just refuses to talk to anyone. And he secludes himself in his study. And his study overlooked kind of the stone cobbled street. And this very strange thing happened. He stayed in his study for 10 days. And all he did was kind of look out at the stones. He was kind of staring at the stones as if he was deranged. And the, you know, some of the elder disciples thought perhaps he's had some sort of breakdown. They didn't know what was going on. And then 10 days later, he emerges and his face is shining, you know, beaming light. And he begins to dance, you know, ecstatically on the tables in the study hall. And when the master dances, you can feel the outrageous love moving in the room, and the disciples and their family, everyone begins to dance. And it's this incredible, you know, 3-hour Hasidic rave, you know, in Safed, Israel, you know, in 1793. And when the dancing's over and they kind of fall, you know, exhausted, you know, on the floor, the older disciples who have the temerity, the audacity, they say to the master, "Nu, was tutzach?" Meaning like, what was this? What happened? What did he say to you? And what did he say to you 25 years ago? I mean, who is this strange person, and what dangerous words does he speak that move you so? And the master said, you know, when he came, the strange man 25 years ago, he whispered in my ear and he says, "You've got to go to Israel, because in Israel, this, you know, the air is more pure than the air of heavens. And the water is actually the water of the streams of the fountains in the Garden of Eden. And you'll experience life in a completely different way, in which all is spirit and all is sacred. And the very stones in the street are precious. They're rubies. And we got here, and I meditated and practiced, and I realized that the air here is more pure than the air of any of the heavens. Right? Because I could actually feel shimmering spirit alive in the air. When I tasted the water, I tasted from the very fountains of Eden itself. And there was no split here between spirit and physical. It was all one. When I look at the stones, I realized he had exaggerated. He'd lied. Because the stones were just stones. And that's what I thought for 25 years. And when he came back just 10 days ago, he whispered in my ear and he said, Master, 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 you haven't loved enough. The stones are rubies. The stones are rubies. And I realized I didn't have eyes to see. I hadn't loved enough. And so I went into my study, and I went to find the deepest inner heart, the most outrageous love that I could find. And every day I looked out at those stones. And every day they seemed to still be stones until finally today I looked out at the stones. And oh my God, the stones are rubies, right? The stones are rubies. Wow. 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 The stones are rubies, my friends. That the outrageous lover sees what no one else can see. To be a lover is to have eyes to see. And everything transfigures, everything transmutes, everything looks different, everything awakens differently. So we're going to do a practice. We're going to do a stones are rubies practice. And here's the practice. Everyone, take about 60 seconds to do the practice. And I want to ask everyone, just say your name and do the practice and hold the practice space. Right, just kind of have audacity, step in, you know, hold the practice space and kind of do it with the full ritual kind of power, right, of a practice. So here's the practice. Identify a person in your life who you're angry at, who you feel has offended you, who you feel has hurt you in some way. You don't have to say their name, maybe you can say their initials, right, or you can say their first name. And then shift your perception. Open your eyes, and then view them, right, as your teacher. So let's say this is a person who makes you angry. Then say, wow, Jack makes me so angry. And describe, like, in 10, 20 seconds, you know, why or how he makes you or she makes you angry. And then say, and now I shift my perception. The stones are rubies. And I realize that Jack is my anger teacher. And he was sent to actually teach me, right, how to awaken and enlighten through anger. The stones are rubies, and accept Jack as your teacher. And realize that his entire purpose in your life is for your enlightenment. Now, that doesn't mean you let him off the hook if he owes you money. Nothing to do with that. It means you shift your internal perception. You give up being right, and you accept and receive Jack as your teacher. Right? If there's someone that, you know, tempts you in the world in a way that you don't want to be tempted, receive that person as your teacher of how to work with temptation. If there's someone that closes you, right, accept that person as the person who teaches you how to open. The stones are rubies, and open your eyes, see the person with God's eyes, and shift your core perception of the person. That's the practice. You name a person who in some way hurts, offends, makes you angry, tempts, contracts, whatever it is. You name the hurt anger, and then you say, and the stones are rubies, and then you accept that person, right, as your teacher, and you thank them. You thank them for the great teaching they've given you. Here we go. We're in.